consoles through the screen. High-tech wonders unseen. Discussing all that's new with the waifu crew. From gaming scores to loss, tech updates and applause. The Crimbo leads the way, BP brightens the day. Turn up the radio, grip on it, cool flow. For the latest in show, waifus, let your love grow.
All right. We're going to go ahead and change that again to something else. Hold on. I'm still getting the hang of this freaking thing. Restore. Maybe not. Main player. Ah, there we go. All right, everyone. It's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Articles Show. Don't have dead penetration here. It's flooding. You see the thing that says flood? Ooh, temperatures to rise. Oh, that's nice. Good. Anyway, there should be a red flood warning on my screen if you guys can see it. It was there earlier. Yeah, it's pretty bad over here. Like, it's rivers and shit. It's rough. And there's an area over there near DP's house that floods, and he won't be able to make it home if it gets too rough. So I told him, you know, don't even come over, and he shouldn't even go to work, because obviously that shit'll have filled up and he won't even be able to get home. I don't know what he did, but he did get the message, and he's not here. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. A little later than we normally do the show, I think. Not sure. I know we did it earlier last time. But anyway, guys, let's go ahead and get started. Gonna turn that up just a little bit. Okay, so John Lovitz and Al Jean are trying to bring back The Critic. Yeah, this is kind of a big part of my childhood. I remember The Critic. It stinks. It's the sort of thing Jay Sherman, host of low-rated film review series Coming Attractions and the protagonist of two-season cult animated comedy The Critic, might bemoan. Nothing in Hollywood can stay dead anymore. Possibly even The Critic itself, if star John Lovitz and original co-creator Al Jean have their way. Lovitz stirred hope in the hearts of a particularly nerdy flavor of former child cartoon fan earlier this week when he posted on social media that he had recruited John, a former Simpsons showrunner who created The Critic with Mike Rice, for his possible reboot efforts. After all, if King of the Hill can come back, Family Guy once got saved from death, and American Dad might be returning to Fox. It is going back to Fox. Why not Jay Sherman? Because all of those shows ran for at least a decade a pop, our more cynical minds whisper, while The Critic was killed off after just 23 episodes, but we silence this inner defeatist. Lovett's social media post was light on details, including how exactly John would be involved with the potential reboot, but big on enthusiasm, inviting fans to spread the word. Writing at an average of 2 exclamation points per sentence, the former Saturday Night Live star exults to Critic fans, if you want it back, we need your help. Please like this post and spread the word so we can show the studio how many people want it. Here's where we also feel moved to note that The Critic actually already got revived once, albeit a strange and truncated form. You can tell because we're about to use the word webisodes for the first time since like 2011. After being canceled in 95, The Critic was previously brought back in 2000 by Atom Films and Shockwave for a series of 3-minute webisode shorts written by John and Rice and starring Lovitz. They're actually fairly funny if not allowed to reach the full surreal breadth of the original show. Anyway, we'd be lying if this didn't all feel like a bit of a pipe dream, but if every TV show under the sun is going to get a shot at a revival, one of our oddball favorites might as well get it shot too, right? So, about those webisodes, they're actually the only thing you really can find of The Critic on Internet Archive, since a lot of stuff has been taken down. You can absolutely find all those little shorts on there, so if you want those and you never got to see them, you can watch them there. Alright, so more interesting news. Well, maybe not. Pal World decides it wasn't April fooling after all, and it's actually making a visual novel dating sim where you can dismember and eat some of its cast. Around this time last year, on the day of the April Fool, Pal World made a funny little gist towards the gaming public. What if we do an extremely original joke and say we're making a visual novel? Hee hee ho ho, wouldn't that be a laugh? I can only imagine the meeting that followed where, staring blankly into space, someone decided to speak up and said, "Okay, what if we actually make one?" Clearly no one was brave enough to fight against this act of divine injustice, because Pal World developer Pocket Pair is absolutely making a visual novel. Pointedly announced March 31st, not April the 1st, the game has a Steam page and everything. You, the protagonist, enroll as a transfer student in the prestigious Palpagos Private Academy. You will meet unique friends, pals, and enjoy school life through friendship and romance. It's up to you whether you stay friends with the pals, develop romantic relationships with them, or even dismember and eat them, because why not, right? Even, hold up, even what? Can we just hold on? Pal World isn't any stranger to dark humor. You can cook pals or just overwork them, which is honestly whatever. They might be a little more smarter than the average animal we chow down on in the real world, and also capable of summoning great conflagrations, but most pals are still, you know, animals. The cast of the upcoming visual novel Pal World, more than just pals, however, are anthropomorphized, just straight-up people with, like, clothes and the capacity for human speech. Why can you dismember and eat them? Because Nitro Plus exists. Get over it. I have several more questions, but that's the most pressing one. Anyway, the new trailer shown below gives us a glimpse at several new romantic gastronomical options. These include... Let's look at it here. These include clumsy Quivern, whose refreshing smile and innocent personality make him popular with both men and women, school nurse Saya, who toys with the protagonist with her adult sex appeal, bubbly Tarantress, who knits you cute scarves, and Yandere Splatterina, who always carries a knife and exudes a dangerous scent and a tendency to imprison people. Cool. The trailer itself gives a glimpse at the kind of scenes this accursed creation will provide, like getting caught staring at school nurse Saya's chest, or petting Chillet while they make suggestive noises. Someone, somewhere, will presumably be filled by both of these developments. Pal World, more than just pals, doesn't have a release date, so we'll be safe from it for a while longer. Now, if you'll excuse me, I need to go dunk my head in some cold water. Oh, Harvey Randall. You'll survive, sir. This might not be for you, but I think we here might enjoy it. Maybe we'll play it. It still says game scene still in development, so they're still working on this actively. And it's being made in Renpy. Come on, guys. Of course it's being made in Renpy. They're all being made in Renpy. By the way, hey, most Renpy novels don't have any DRM. I noticed that. So if you guys buy games on Steam that are... I guess most Renpy novels, anyway. Some do. But most Renpy novels I've noticed, a lot of the AVN, I checked out Monster College, the full version of that is up, and I have an announcement that we will be doing that as soon as we finish Lust Theory. We're going immediately into Monster College. So it'll be Monster College and Lust Academy on Monday night, whenever we do those. But those will be your next set of games. I think Monsters and Magic are a good mix, so we'll do those. And I can't wait to bring you more of the completed Monster College. So, yeah. This looks like one we'll play. And, like I was saying, guys, alright, so here's what happened. I've been buying a lot of my visual novels AVNs at places like GOG and itch.io. And I decided to download one of my itch.io games that never updated past 8.4. That was Monster College. So I was like, okay, let's download it from Steam and see, you know, if I can play it there. Well, to my surprise, it didn't even have a Steam files. Like, no, it did not have Steam files at all. It had nothing. And then I said, okay, well, let's try Taboo University. So I downloaded, I've already bought it, but I downloaded Taboo University. I went to play it, and I realized there's no DRM on it either. Wow. What this means is you can play these games off Steam, and you can even move them from the Steam Common Apps folder into any folder you want and play them. And they'll work, just like anything you buy from GOG, just like anything you buy from itch.io or the Patreon. They work. So definitely check that out. I'll definitely be buying more of these, especially Sexbot and Sexbot Recalibrated, because, yeah, now you can just get them without the DRM. Oh, and by the way, I talked to the CEO of Jast, and I said, hey, do any of your games on Steam have DRM? Do you have any DRM files at all, any Steam files? He said, no. We've never had DRM on any of our games. So when you buy games, yes, they're censored, but you can get the patch for free on JastUSA's website. But yeah, you can play them without Steam if you want. Now, most of you guys would probably just buy them from Jast because, of course, they don't have the censorship and all that. And you have your own library there too, which I do. But, yeah, for those of you that prefer Steam or don't want to play them on Steam for some odd reason, I don't know why, they don't have any kind of Steam files. And there's a lot of games like that. So, definitely check those out. But most adult games, I've even been told that Mongo Party. Mongo Party's games don't have DRM. And if that's the case, I might start buying more of those because I know that people want me to try them out. And if I could just literally buy them and there's no DRM or nothing, and I could just throw them on my rig and play them, then we'll fucking play more Mongo Party shit during the gameplay week, which I know you guys will love because Mongo Party games do really well. And then, of course, we also have Kagura, which doesn't have any DRM. I thought they wouldn't anyway, and they don't. So a lot of adult games don't, and you don't have to worry about that. So if you want to buy them from Steam, you can buy them from Steam, and obviously you don't need Steam to play them. So that's a cool little side note here. And it didn't take but 5 minutes. We're going to do an hour show. So, alright. Got some anime news. No Romance, No Rebellion. China's new rules are quietly changing anime for everyone. Anime is more popular than ever worldwide, but behind the scenes, things are getting more difficult. As production costs rise and international censorship gets tougher, especially in China, anime creators are being pushed to avoid entire genres and topics. The new official rule? No romance and no rebellion. These limits aren't just affecting what shows up in China, they're starting to influence what types of anime even get made in the first place. Anime is returning to Japanese TV. A recent report from Manten Web explains how anime is making a return to Japanese TV, which had previously seen fewer time slots due to the rise of streaming. Oh, I've got to change that. That's messing with my eyes. In the late 2010s, regular TV airtime for anime in Japan dropped off. But now networks like Fuji TV and TV Asahi are adding new anime blocks. One recent example, NTV's pre-release of a Mobile Suit Gundam film, which pulled over 2 million live viewers. Wow, it's pretty crazy. That kind of number is a clear sign of renewed interest in watching anime on television. Give me a second, let me look at this. Oh, that could change things. There we are. According to Manten Web, a big reason for this shift is how Demon Slayer took off during the pandemic. With many people staying home, the show exploded in popularity and became a widely shared and discussed title. One of the key reasons for that success was how easy it was to access. It was available on many platforms, and that reach helped it gain attention from both longtime fans and new viewers. Manten Web also points out that anime made only for streaming hasn't had the same lasting impact. The COO of DMM.com, that's DMM that controls all the adult games, and Shiravune is a branch of DMM, by the way, even said that the industry is now focusing more on getting shows out to as many people as possible, not locking them behind exclusive deals. The goal is to be practical, reach more fans, and stay cost efficient. Even with a positive shift in Japan, anime studios are still facing major hurdles, and producing anime has become expensive. Matt and Webb says a single episode can cost anywhere from 20 million to 80 million yen. That's $130,000 to $530,000 per episode, guys. That kind of spending means studios can't afford to take big risks. They need to be sure there's a large enough audience, and that includes overseas markets like China. Timing is also a problem. Most anime projects are planned 2 to 3 years ahead, which makes it difficult to match with quick TV schedules. On top of that, many studios are struggling to find enough experienced staff. With so few people available, newer and younger workers are often placed in key roles just to meet deadlines. This can lead to slower production times and, in some cases, quality issues. Despite all this, anime still brings in a lot of money globally through licensing and merchandise. According to Mountain Web, this overseas income is helping make up for lost revenue in Japan's traditional TV ad market. But now, Mountain Web outlines how China, once a major income source for anime studios, has become one of the hardest markets to deal with. The rules aren't just about removing violent scenes or changing specific characters. China's now focused on removing themes they consider inappropriate. This includes stories with high school romance, or characters who fight against authority, or anything that could be interpreted as criticizing the system. In 2015, China's Ministry of Culture banned 38 anime and manga titles, including major hits like Attack on Titan and Death Note. The reasons included things like bad influence, too violent, or harmful to young people, but many believe it was really about the message of the shows. Even small details like how blood is shown are regulated. If a studio knows their work won't pass China's review process, they might skip the idea completely. It's simply too expensive and time-consuming to make a series that might never air there. Now, this is where things really start to affect fans everywhere. Mountain Web explains that creators are now thinking twice before even starting certain types of anime. If a show includes a school romance, rebellious characters, or anything seen as controversial, it might get rejected in China. Since that market is so important financially, many studios avoid the topics altogether. This means fewer anime with emotional relationships, fewer social conflicts, and fewer unique storylines. It doesn't just hurt the Chinese market, it reduces what gets made for everyone else, too. The boost in anime airing on Japanese TV is a good sign, and Mountain Web makes it clear that there are still strong fan bases in other regions like North America, Southeast Asia, and Latin America. These areas are helping keep anime profitable. Still, China's market is hard to replace. As long as these censorship rules remain, many creators will continue making decisions based on what won't get them banned in that region. Anime is still doing well, but the report reveals that there's a shift happening in how shows are chosen, written, and made. The growing influence of censorship, especially the idea of avoiding romance and rebellion, is slowly shaping the industry. If it continues, we may see fewer anime that tell emotional, personal, or bold stories. That's a loss not just for fans in China, but for viewers everywhere. Studios have a tough choice: follow the money or take creative risks. For now, many are choosing safety, and that choice affects the anime all of us get to watch. Okay. Newly revealed text shows skin-crawling messages married Illinois teacher allegedly sent 15-year-old student she's accused of raping. Love having sex with you. Skin-crawling text messages allegedly sent by a married Illinois high school teacher to a 15-year-old student show her professing love and pining over having sex with him. And police say it's proof she sexually assaulted the boy. Christina Famella, a 30-year-old special ed teacher and soccer coach at Downers Grove South High School, allegedly told the victim, "I love having sex with you," and other lurid lines in 2023 text messages found on the boy's phone Friday, court documents obtained by WG9 show. "I love you so much, Mama," the boy sent Famella in one text. "I love you so much, baby, even though this morning was short. It was perfect," the teacher, then 28, allegedly responded. "I know, baby, it was perfect, baby, so perfect," the boy replied back before Famella opined about how much she loved having sex with him. "I know, baby, I love it so much. It feels so good. It's so passionate, so intimate, it's so perfect," the boy said. Damn, the boy said a lot, didn't he? Police took those messages as evidence that Famella was engaged in an inappropriate relationship with her student and was molesting him over 2 years ago. A protracted assault that allegedly began during a classroom tutoring session in December 2023 and continued until the boy eventually ended it. After police arrested Formelia in her Chicago suburb Sunday, they allegedly found writings in her phone's notes app that further suggested a sexual relationship with her underage student, the court documents showed. But Formelia... No, it's Formella. Formella claimed the material in that app was just an outlet for her anxiety and that any sexual material was only about her husband. The now former teacher has flat out denied the allegations, instead insisting she's the victim of a frame job and blackmail from the boy she tutored and coached, and that people are targeting her because she's good looking. She claimed that one day the boy had grabbed her phone unattended and entered her passcode and sent the message to his phone and then deleted the message from her phone and saved it to his phone as blackmail? I don't think he did, court documents read. Formella said everyone comes after her because she is good looking and she is just a good person who cared too much about the boy, the documents stated. Formella appears to have married her college sweetheart as recently as August. The text messages were found Friday after the boy's mother bought him a new phone. As they were setting it up, she logged into his iCloud account and discovered them. She took her son to the Downers Grove police station the same day and they reported the alleged abuse. Formella was charged with 2 counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse and 1 of criminal sexual assault and was released on the condition that she not enter the school grounds or have contact with anybody under 18. Wedding photos on social media appear to show Formella and her husband were married as recently as August. College sweethearts were seen smiling and smooching in what appeared to be a happy and healthy relationship in the images. She and her husband were student-athletes together at Concordia University. Formella began teaching at Downers Grove High in 2020 after earning her teaching license in 2017. She has since been placed on paid leave from her job. Next to Judge Mathis, my favorite TV judge is Judge Milian. She always says, say it, forget it, write it, and regret it. If these texts were only sent on the same day, I might believe her. Multiple texts on different days, not a chance. I love having sit with you, and I love you so much. Even though this morning was short, it was perfect. Definitely sounds like a 15-year-old pretending to be her to impress his friends. What time were they sent? During a tutoring appointment where he would have had access to her phone? And are there other messages? If I'm her, and those are the only messages, I'd sue the heck out of the kid and his wealthy parents. He ruined her reputation with her mugshot plastered all over the country. How does he know her phone password? But it will increase her son to be... Excuse me. But it will increase her soon-to-be-created OnlyFans account. No male adolescent would use the word short in any sentence regarding him and sex. Yeah, and how did he get the passcode to her phone? He saw her unlock her phone while she was tutoring him. You don't have to be James Bond if you're sitting at his kitchen table and trust he wouldn't steal her phone. It does sound like that, lucky SOB. Thank you, my first thought. The young guys can get it harder for longer and keep going over and over again. Not difficult to understand. Ah, yes, objectifying children because that's sane. 15-year-old males used to go to wars and raise families. It's actually true. Just because this nanny society says that the person is a child for the first 18 years of their lives does not change biology. Patsy, are you ready for a really hard one? Thanks for explaining like we're stupid or something. You sound like a PDF yourself. Not true. I can keep going for hours and nowhere close to being young. Your boyfriend really is a lucky man. Touché! Oh, man. But she is absolutely right about that. 15-year-old males used to go to war and raise families. By the way, let's go look that up real quick. I have no idea what the fuck this is, but... The boys who lied about their age to fight in World War II. Boys as young as 14 lied about their age in order to enlist and fight in the Second World War. Wow. During World War II, many underage males were involved in combat, including 15-year-olds. In Nazi Germany, the Hitler Youth Organization trained and indoctrinated youth, and near the end of the war, some were sent to the front lines despite their young age. For example, Heinz Schultz, age 15 from Leipzig, was given minimal training in SS uniform before being directed to the front lines. Good Lord. In the United States during World War II, the youngest known serviceman was Calvin Graham, who enlisted in the Navy at the age of 12! Holy shit! Though he was not officially recognized as a child soldier at the time. However, the U.S. generally only allowed men and women 18 years or older to be drafted or enlisted into the armed forces, with some exceptions for those who lied about their age. The use of children in military roles during World War II was not limited to Germany. In Poland, children joined military organizations despite age limits, participating in extreme situations like the Warsaw Uprising. Wow. That is crazy. About ancient times. In ancient times, the age at which males could join their first army varied. In ancient Greece, men typically began military training around 18 to 20 and joined the army proper in their 20s. However, there are notable exceptions where younger individuals participated in warfare. For instance, during the American Civil War, a young boy named Bugler John Cook served the U.S. Army at the age of 15 and received the Medal of Honor for his acts during the Battle of Antietam. Holy shit! This indicates that while the minimum age for formal military service is often higher, younger individuals sometimes found ways to participate in warfare. Additionally, in ancient Rome, the minimum age for military service was typically 17, but there are accounts of younger individuals serving in auxiliary roles or joining the military through deception. Wow. We're not going to talk about pederasty. That has nothing to do with that. So, that is some interesting history. Good Lord, what a face. Okay. Woman whose rape lies got innocent man jailed receives disgustingly light sentence. We really got to talk about this. A Pennsylvania woman who falsely accused an innocent man of trying to rape and kidnap her has been sentenced to less than 2 years in prison. Angela Borisova Yuromova, 20, filed a false police report against 41-year-old Daniel Pearson. The claims landed Pearson in jail for a month on $1 million bail, and he was charged with multiple felonies. Good gravy. Yuromova's story was found to be inconsistent and contradictory following an investigation which eventually led her to pleading guilty to lying in January. She received her sentencing on Tuesday, April the 1st, of 45 days to 23 months. That's it? In addition to her jail sentence, Judge Stephen Kaur added 1 year probation and ordered her to undergo a mental health evaluation, according to a press release from Bucks County District Attorney's Office. Yuromova was ordered to pay $3,600 in restitution and to have no contact with the victim or his family. Not only did this targeted false report impact the victim and his family in unimaginable ways, but there's also a profound ripple effect, District Attorney Jennifer Shorn said, according to a press release. A crime like this can shatter the community's confidence in the system. It can jeopardize prosecutions of legitimate crimes of sexual violence, Shorn added. Oh, man. The prosecution and sentence of this defendant for a malicious false report demonstrates that this will not be tolerated. Pearson sat in court with his wife and mother, who did not want to give statements as the case was still too emotional for them. In this case, she targeted an innocent man and accused him of one of the worst crimes a person can be accused of, said Chief Deputy D.A. Kristen M. McElroy. Yuromova had accused Pearson of pulling her pants down and striking her in the face on April the 16th, 2024, outside of a supermarket. But as the investigation unraveled, it was clear to detectives that the story was not adding up. Wow. After reviewing surveillance footage from multiple retailers in the area of the supposed Attack and forensic evidence of your remote... Bleh. Let's try that all over again. After reviewing surveillance footage from multiple retailers in the area of the supposed attack and forensic evidence of Hiromova's cell phone data, a detective with the DA's office discovered multiple inconsistencies. Hiromova was confronted by authorities and admitted she lied about the entire incident, confirming she hadn't been attacked by anyone, prosecutors said. She pleaded guilty to 7 misdemeanor charges, 1 count each, of false alarm to an agency of public safety, and tampering with or fabricating physical evidence, 2 counts of false reports, and 3 counts of unsworn falsification to authorities. Why are we showing her in, like, cheerleading shit and all that? Hiromova claimed to have specifically targeted and identified Pearson as her attacker because she had seen him in the truck in the past and was able to describe him in the vehicle to the police. Her description of the dark blue Ford F-150 pickup truck detailed a thin blue line sticker on the black windshield with visible dents and rust of the exterior. The injury to her face was allegedly due to an altercation with a family member. Pearson was freed following her admission of lying about the attack and charges were withdrawn. I'm incredibly grateful for the work that law enforcement did in this case to get down to what happened, but it can't change the fact that a man spent 31 days sleeping in a cell for a crime he didn't commit, McElroy said. Additionally, Pearson's children watched their father be arrested and his family protested his innocence for his freedom, McElroy added, according to the press release. McElroy furthered that cases such as this taint the stories of women who truthfully experience sexual crimes. She encouraged those who have experienced sexual crimes to come forward and added, it should be documented, investigated, and they should be heard, and they shouldn't be silenced with fear when they see things like this. It just makes this case all the more egregious that this woman claimed to be a victim and used the system. I don't even know for what purpose. Used the system to target a man she didn't know. I would hope that it doesn't have a chilling effect on women, but it is a concern. Hiromova was booked into Bucks County Correctional Facility, according to the press release. What's sad about this is because she's attractive and he's not, that will make everyone believe her story and go hard on him. Police continue to tell me how women are impressed in our country. She should be in prison for 5 to 10 years minimum. So sad for the accused man and his family. Let's look at the best rated. She should have received a much longer sentence. It's these type of outcomes that put women's equality back 100 years. Women are the scourge of society. The law should get the same sentence as what the man would get for raping her. Not really. A civil case would likely occur while she was in jail, resulting in not much effect on her personal time. She might not have funds to blow on an attorney, and a resulting judgment is both difficult, costly to collect, and likely to go away, be avoided by a bankruptcy. Way too lenient. This type of punishment certainly will not deter others from doing the same exact thing. Disgusting, vile woman deserved at least 10 years plus. Absolutely. Okay. So, I don't really know what's going on with these Trump tariffs, and I'm supposed to kind of talk a little bit about them. I said this was going to be an hour-long show. So, alright. So, I've been doing a lot of research on the Trump tariffs. I've just been looking up all of them, and basically, I've checked a bunch of different information. I've asked people I know. I've looked at conversations from everybody, from the left to the right to the center, independents, everybody. And it's a lot of different information. Some people said that, yeah, it could bankrupt the economy and cause us to become a third world country like Brazil. And some say that it's just people are over exaggerating and it's not so bad. However, then I've heard more sane approaches, especially from a guy that voted for Trump like I did, and he said straight up, he said, you know, this is really reckless what he's done here, and basically the situation, this is a guy that actually hires and fires people, so he runs a business. He's a good guy to talk to about this. So anyway, he says, we'll still have jobs, but we won't have goods and services. He said the majority of our programmers right now are in India. As a guy that actually works with programmers, that's his thing. He runs a business, you know. And he said, basically, we need people, you know, overseas. Trump thinks that we're just going to be able to start doing everything over here in America, and that is a lengthy process that takes a number of years. You don't just slap tariffs on everybody and hope that we're going to build all the things and move everything back. It's not going to be that fast. And in the meantime, people are going to suffer very, very hard. Because a lot of the stuff that's even made in America has parts that come from other countries. So that's going to put an extra... That's going to really cause... It's going to cause some problems. Again, we'll have jobs, but we won't have goods and services. If we don't have goods and services, we're going to have a bad time, right? And a lot of things that people want and people need, they're not going to be able to get. Like medicine, for example. A lot of medicine is made overseas. We're going to start making medicine over in the United States. Your medicine's going to go up. A lot of your vitamins and your pills and things, that your supplements are going to go up. Because not all that is made in the United States, right? So there's a lot of stuff that's going to go up. And it's not going to be a good thing. It's going to be hard. People are going to find it very, very difficult to pay. He did say that inflation would skyrocket. That's not a very good sign. However, I've also heard other takes, again, that people are overreacting and it might not be as bad. I heard one take that maybe the other countries will be pressured to kind of meet him, you know, because these are reciprocal tariffs. So maybe they'll try to lower their tariffs down a little bit so that he'll lower his, which is what he's hoping for, but I don't know if they'll do that. And I also heard a take that basically the United States was like a credit card company that raised its rates. So basically China and other countries are going to be like, well, we will go with Canada because they have lower rates of trade. So they're starting a trade war, which we really don't need. And even Ben Shapiro called this out. Ben Shapiro is worried. That's surprising, because Ben Shapiro was always like, GDP, 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 according to what Thinking Ape was talking about. And guess what? Now Ben Shapiro is kind of raising the alarm here, surprisingly. I actually saw that on social media, where he was talking about how these things weren't good. And CEOs are talking about how these things aren't good. Things are happening, and they're not looking too good. Stocks are going down. A lot of bad things are happening. 401ks are going down. That's not good. There's a lot of really bad things that are happening or could potentially happen that could change the face of this country as we know it. Now, here's what might happen. Say Trump decides to do this and things go absolute bedlam over the first week. Well, we don't know yet. Things could go so belly up that he decides to remove the tariffs. Now, here's the problem with that. These countries are going to be like, okay, buddy, so you tariffed us, and we're not going to play so nice with you now. Like, oh, sure, we'll go back to what we had, but there's going to be more strings attached. There's going to be a lot more things that we want from your country and certain things that we didn't ask for before, and we're going to want those. So you're going to see those kinds of things happen. It's really not a great situation. This is coming from someone who did vote for Trump. So I'm basically trying to look at this, you know, at all sides. I'm trying to be as completely non-biased as possible. So there's a lot of bad things, but there's also some good things. Again, maybe it could balance out. Maybe it could work. There's a couple things that it could do well. But I just don't think people are ready to go to a country where we've got so many imports that really build the bulk of our economy. And try to go into an America first economy where everything is mainly American. Now, a lot of our food is mainly American as it is. I looked at a lot of the products that are made in America still here. And there's a lot of things, especially food items here in America, that are still made here. So I don't really know how all that's going to work. But basically, we're hoping that it's not going to be that awful and people just buy American products. And of course, my friend did say it's a slow, it happens slowly. It's not all at once. It's not everything just skyrockets and goes to the moon. It's going to happen. It's a trickle-down kind of thing. Once it gets bad, then you'll start to see things like the Summer of Love, exponential. I mean, you'll see some crazy shit. It'll get really fucking crazy up in here. I don't want to see those days. I hope things can be fixed. And some people say, well, we might be able to knock it out in the midterms. And if we do have to go through about 2 years of this, woo! It's going to be rough. I have no idea how that's going to work. So we're just going to play it by ear and see what happens. Because these tariffs are the things he's been talking about. All right. So that's all I have to say on the tariffs. I figured you guys didn't want me to sit and talk about tariffs. Especially since I don't know a whole lot and I'm still trying to piecemeal as much information as I can. Whoa, we almost lost all the lights. That would have been a hell of a show. We'd be like, okay guys, the Grim Articles show is over and I don't think we're going to have any content after that because I have no fucking lights. No, we just flickered a little bit. There's some wind. There's no thunder or lightning or rain, but sometimes just a little bit of wind seems to be enough to knock my electricity out for a few hours. This wind needs to calm itself down. Okay, good. Since we didn't have the power get knocked out, we got an article here from Vice. People are choosing AI sex workers over the real thing. Who would have thought? Thoughts are being replaced by bots. They don't sleep, eat, or age, but they're making serious money. AI-generated sex workers and influencers are quickly becoming some of the highest-earning digital creators, raising messy questions about the future of intimacy, labor, and what we actually want from human connection. Unlike real women who spend hours shooting, editing, and promoting their content, these digital babes are built with text prompts and AI image generators, and I talked to a guy that's made several of them. What the hell? The first buttholes might have been for sperm instead of poop? Well, we're not going to talk about that. I'm really... Maybe. Just maybe. Anyway, back to the article. AI image generators and behind the scenes often run by anonymous tech-savvy men. Creators of AI influencers can earn a ridiculous amount of money without ever stepping in front of a camera. So what's the appeal exactly? Perfection. Absolutely. 100%. These bots are designed to match specific fantasies, insanely unobtainable body types, yes, flawless skin, I don't know what that is, limitless stamina. They're always on, always available, and built to be exactly what the consumer wants. They never say no. It's sex work without the human limitations, and that's exactly the selling point. It's no surprise this business is booming. We'll also talk about that. The AI sex tech industry is projected to hit $30 billion by 2030. It's not just the tech that makes it profitable. These apps charge users for access, require almost no physical overhead, and sell your personal data by feeding it to advertisers. With minimal costs and maximum scalability, it's a goldmine model designed for rapid growth. The hottest sex workers on the internet aren't even real. But while these bots rake in cash, their impact on human relationships is already showing some cracks. Some difficulties may come about if real encounters are profoundly disappointing because they don't match up to the strictly defined requirements that users experience in AI porn, one researcher told the BBC. We'll talk about that later. When your ideal girlfriend is a flawless digital fantasy, real people can start to feel blah. I mean, you know, we do that with Crimson, but the difference is, like, when it comes to a real person, I expect them to have flaws. Like, that's just part of life, right? It's not a problem. Still, the human touch isn't obsolete just yet. Influencer marketing remains a $21.1 billion industry, with Gen Z leading the demand for authenticity. People still trust human creators, especially when it comes to sex and lifestyle content. We want to see and feel the nuanced spontaneity and unpredictability of real lives. This just can't be coded. It's hard not to feel a bit terrified about where our world is going. Now that AI is becoming alarmingly good at replicating human characteristics, it's a fine and very blurry line between fantasy and reality. Sex and technology have always co-evolved, says the University of Sydney's Raphael Serelio. Just as prostitution is the oldest profession, porn sites are some of the oldest corners of the internet. However, the dystopian potential of sex bots for mass customized corporate controlled monetization of our most intimate sphere is unprecedented. As AI continues to seduce users with perfection, human creators are now in serious competition. And as of right now, both are making bank. As they will. Human people and AI are gonna be at the same until you can actually start fucking the AI, and that's the one thing that the human creators aren't really offering that much. There's a lot of them that say, no meetups, no DM. These ones will be like, oh, well, you can fuck me at whatever. I can come to your house, I'm a robot. Like, that's gonna be an interesting thing, won't it? I don't know, will guys do that? Will guys have, like, this sex bot thought that just, oh, I'm here. I don't know, that's weird. And then you go meet up with another guy, and then you meet up with another guy, then you meet up with another guy. I mean, they clean themselves, right? I don't know how that works. The AI sex bot industry is just getting started. Yep, Christmas is over with. Artificial intelligence AI is getting personal. Chatbots are designed to imitate human interactions, and the rise of realistic voice chat is leading many users to form emotional attachments or laugh along with virtual podcast hosts. That is some interesting stuff. And that's before we get to the really intimate stuff. Research has shown that sexual role-playing is one of the most common uses of ChatGPT, and millions of people interact with AI-powered systems designed as virtual companions, such as Character AI, Replica, and Chai, whatever. What does this mean for the future of human romance? The prospects are alarming. The most prominent AI companion service is Replica, which allows some 30 million users to create custom digital girlfriends or boyfriends. While early studies indicate most Replica users are male, Caucasian and under 30, other demographics are catching up. Male sex robots have been in the making for some years, and they're more than just vibrators with integrated jar openers. For a subscription fee, users can exchange intimate messages or pictures with their AI partners. Over 500,000 users have subscribed before Replica temporarily disabled its erotic roleplay module in early 2023, fearing regulatory backlash, a move that others dubbed the lobotomy. Or users, rather, not others. I know that sounded weird. The Replica lobotomy highlights a key feature of virtual companions. Their creators have complete control over their behavior. The makers of apps can modify or shut down a user's partner and millions of others at any moment. These systems also read everything users say to tailor future interactions and, of course, ads. However, these caveats don't appear to be holding the industry back. New products are proliferating. One company, Kindroid, now offers voice chats with up to 10 virtual companions simultaneously. I was going to try that one. The digital world isn't the limit either. Sex doll vendors such as Joy Love Dolls or the Dollhouse offer interactive real-life sex bots, well, they don't at the Dollhouse, which not only have customizable skin color and breast size, but also complete control of features including movement, heating, and AI-enabled... Nope. Phil has that too. Moans, squeals, and even flirting from your doll, making her a great companion. For now, virtual companions and AI sex bots remain a much smaller market than social media, with millions of users rather than billions. But as the history of the likes of Facebook, Google, and Amazon has taught us, today's quirks could become tomorrow's global giants. Towards ethically AI-sourced girlfriends? The availability of AI-driven relationships is likely to usher in all manner of ethically dubious behavior from users who won't have to face the real-world consequences. Soon you might satisfy any kink with your AI girlfriend for an extra fee. If your AI wife becomes troublesome, just ask the corporate overlord to deactivate her envy module, for a price of course, or simply delete her and start fresh with as many AI mistresses as you like in parallel. The way people form relationships has already been disrupted by dating apps such as Tinder and Bumble. What will happen if in the future people looking for love are competing against perfect synthetic lovers that are always available and horny? Well, at least they'll be able to create virtual replicas of those hot dates they didn't land. And for those who lack the skills to create their own virtual companions, there'll be plenty of off-the-shelf alternatives. An ABC investigation revealed the use of generative AI to create fake influencers by manipulating women's social media images is already widespread. This is generally done without consent to sell pornographic content. Much of the content depicts unattainable body ideals, and some depicts people who appear to be at best barely of consenting age. Another likely application? Using AI sexbot technology to bring celebrities such as Marilyn Monroe and Clara Bow back to life. Clara Bow. After all, dead people cannot deny consent anymore. Replica itself was inspired by its founder's desire to recreate her late best friend. We know about that. Many use the app to keep deceased loved ones around. What a time to be alive or dead. The potential for emotional manipulation by inventive catfishers and dictators is alarming. Imagine the havoc if figures like Russia's Vladimir Putin or North Korea's Kim Jong-un harness this technology to complement their nation's already extensive cyber espionage operations. Perhaps before long, you will see corporations offering responsibly sourced AI girlfriends for more ethical consumer, organically grown from the consensually harvested content, promoting socially acceptable smut. It's called games. What, society and the state must act now? Sounds very communist, doesn't it? With loneliness rising to epidemic levels, surveys suggest up to 1 in 4 people in OECD countries lack human connection. The fuck is OECD countries? The demand for sex bots is only going to grow. Corporations will meet this demand unless society and the state set clear boundaries on what's acceptable. Sex and tech have always co-involved. Just as prostitution is the oldest profession, porn sites are some of the oldest corners of the internet. However, the dystopian potential of sex bots for mass customized corporate control and monetization of our most intimate sphere is unprecedented. Users aren't entirely blameless either. There's something vicious about replacing a real human being with a totally submissive lust machine. She's just a lust machine. And she won't work for nobody but me. Early studies suggest narcissism is prevalent among users of this technology. Normalizing harmful sexual behaviors such as rape, sadism, or pedophilia is bad news for society. But some people do like non-con and BDSM type content, which would be sadist. However, going after users isn't likely to be the best way to tackle the issue. We should treat sex bot use like any potentially problematic behaviors like gambling. Oh, shut it! Conversation. I'll give you a conversation. Me foot up your ass! As with other problematic behaviors, where the issue there is a problematic. Remember, this is a highly left-based source. Behaviors where the issue lies more with providers than users, it's time to hold sex bot providers accountable. Oh, here we go! Hold sex bot providers accountable! As our links to AI are growing ever more intimate, there's not much time to waste. Why don't you go fuck yourself? You might enjoy it, Mr. Rafael Cirillo. He's a senior lecturer in business information service systems. Well, why don't you stay the fuck out of the sex bot stuff, sir, before I put my foot up your ass? He might like it. I don't know what he's into. Foot butt stuff? Sir, can I interest you in foot butt stuff? What do you mean? It's Sydney, right? It's trying to... Well, what do you mean? Foot butt stuff? Huh? You like my article that much? You want me to... Yeah! Why don't you go fuck yourself, sir? I mean, for all I'm concerned, he could stick a huntsman spider up his ass. There you go! We have them spiders again, right? Your genes determine the type of music you like. You know those people who are so passionate about music that it seems it dictates their lives? Their everyday lives? Yeah, that's me. That's me. I'm that guy. I'm him. They have a playlist for every mood, 100 different favorite songs. Yep, that's me. And a portion of their budget specifically dedicated to concert tickets. I'm not that guy. Should buy some new Forgotten Sunrise music, though, that I didn't know existed. Well, according to a recent study published in Nature Communications, our genes might influence our enjoyment of music, which could explain why some people are emotionally moved by it, while others just view it as background noise. Depends on the fucking song. A lot of shit I can throw the background noise. But some of it I like. Scientists at Max Planck Institute for Psycholinguistics wanted to understand whether genetic differences between individuals can result in differences in the pleasure that people derive from music, and what these differences can tell us about human musicality in general, said PhD candidate Giacomo Bignotti, first study author. Do you enjoy music? You might have your genes to thank. To make these discoveries, the researchers used a twin design study approach, which basically compares traits between identical and fraternal twins. They analyzed over 9,000 twins' self-reported music reward general reward sensitivity and ability to perceive musical features, e.g. pitch, melody, and rhythm. And there's a Silence Daily report right there. In doing so, the scientists found that the experience of pleasure from music is partially genetic. This includes the way we respond to our enjoyment, such as our emotional reactions or desire to dance along to it. These findings suggest a complex picture in which partly distinct DNA differences contribute to different aspects of music enjoyment, Bignotti explained. Future research looking at which part of the genome contributes the most to the human ability to enjoy music has the potential to shed light on the human faculty that baffled Darwin the most and still baffles us today. So whether you're a metal music fanatic like me, a diehard theater kid, or a seasoned pianist, you might just have your parents to thank for your ability to enjoy music. Well, my parents did absolutely love music, both of them. My mother played music all the time. She would play records while I was a little boy. I remember the song she would sing to. And of course, you know, my mother and father met at a hippie festival. My father was a drug dealer, right? So, my mother didn't think that the guy was gonna... Let's see, I think... I'm trying to figure out what happened. I think it was, I don't know exactly what had happened, but something happened to my mother, and they thought that the dude was just gonna, you know, take her to the hospital and leave, but no, he stayed with her. Like, he was in it. And they stayed for a pretty long time. Last time I saw that man was... I was 10, right? That's my real father. You know, I had a stepfather for a long period of time. And he definitely... He was an ass, but he taught me a lot that I have used. And in my 40 years, I'm like, holy shit, I'm glad that man taught me that. Even though it was rough. If he hadn't shown me the world, I would have been a fucking pussy. Like, seriously. And because I've got a backbone, and I've really become who I am, I've found I've got a lot more positive response by women. Who would have thought having a backbone and fucking saying things like it is gets you attention from women? But it's true. My workplace, you know, all the women are cool with me because, you know, I mean, I do have manners. I do say, you know, excuse me a lot, stuff like that, you know, when I'm moving, stuff like that. I've always been like that. But at the same time, like, I'll tell people shit how it is. That's what I do. I say, well, I know about that. I know about this. I mean, I will be very brief. There is a man that I work for. He's not my boss. He's under my main boss. And he has been doing things that a man of his age should not be doing in a workplace. It's not cool. And don't worry, there's going to be some reports. Yeah, it was to deal with a woman. This is not something he should be doing. He's got a wife and he's got a lot of kids, right? So he should not be doing this. It's not cool. And the things this man is doing, you do not do to people. You don't do in the workplace. That's the stupidest fucking thing. This is one of those situations where you actually do go to HR, because this isn't like he said no. This is when you go way past. And the shit that I'm hearing, it's not something that you should be doing, especially 2025, with any woman. He's absolutely insane. It's not Christmas. So yeah, I gotta hear about this, right? A man that's over me, a man that gives me instruction and tells me what I'm supposed to do, is behaving like an absolute child in a workplace. You're behaving like a child in a workplace. It's ridiculous. And of course he's got a lot of respect for me. He always calls me, you know, what do you want when you want this, sir? I'm over him. I mean, excuse me, guys. He's over me, like, just position-wise, but not experience-wise. So he always says, what do you, he's like, we appreciate your work, sir. Would you, I mean, he calls me sir. He says, he's like, we like what you do, sir. Would you do this, sir? I'm like, I'm the old guy back there, right? And it's something to the point where I know everything in this damn area. Like, that's my thing. I know how to do the job. And I know the job ain't being done right. But I don't want to get too much into my personal life. But yeah, anyway, I'm getting a lot of respect from the ladies, because I'm just that guy. And of course, one of the ladies, she said, one of the young girls, she says to me, oh, don't worry, your time will come. He's like, your time will come, don't worry. You're... I was like, yeah. I was like, I'm not even one of those guys that I'm worried about. If something happens and the right person, or a decent person, I'm not even like, I'm not who the right person has not been a thing for me since I've been fucking, what, 35? I guess I started the red pill content. Like, I haven't been worried about the right person. It's all about, like, a fucking decent person I can tolerate, right? If that's the case. Nah, I do the robot thing. I'm not even worried about it. Man, I done talked with girls, the one in particular. She said, man, you go to one of those countries, you be messing with all those hookers and stuff. I said, yeah, of course, you go in there, you got all them girls in the brothels and shit like that. And so you go to Japan, you have the girl, and I told her all the things they do. And she's just laughing. And it's like, yeah, I mean, we're grown, we're adults, we're gonna talk about shit like that. But, there's a difference between talking about that crap and doing the kind of things that this grown-ass gentleman did. All right, again, we're talking about a father with children, right? Father with children and a wife. You know, you don't do this kind of shit at the workplace. You just don't. It's fucking stupid. People should... Men can sometimes be an issue. You know, a lot of time in the manosphere... We focused on women, right? We focus hardcore on women. Women are this, women are that, women are this, women are that. But I liked one thing that Drexel, you know, because I used to do stuff on his show, he would call out the men. And I'm like, hold on, there are some not shit dudes out there. And the stuff that dude is doing right now is not shit. You got a family, you got a wife. I don't know what the hell's actually going on in that situation. It's not my business. But I know that what he's doing there is not something you should be doing with somebody you work with. Co-worker. Should not be... Like, that's... I mean, even to talk about it, it's even mentioned... I'm not even going to mention it. It's just... I will say there's no sexual contact. But it got real damn close. I'm talking... I mean, there was some groping. That ain't... Trying to grab her ass. You don't do that. That's... They're both, again, these are adults. These are all adults here. But at the same time, you don't do that to people. That's not something you do. And again, she's gonna report. Now, I've been the guy that actually said, if you reported it, because we're gonna go up to the head honcho, play the man that owns the building. Gonna go right up to him and say, hey, we're not going to HR or anything like that. Remember I said HR? No, we're going to the man that owns the building. Because that's how things get done. You go up to him, you say, hey, this is what's been going on. This is, you know, and it's ridiculous, right? It's ridiculous. You shouldn't have to act like that. Grown ass man. You got a wife, you got kids. You had kids. You had all them damn kids. And just, I don't know. I literally don't know what to say about him. I mean, his demeanor isn't terrible. He's not the best boss I've had. But he's not the worst boss I've had either. Far from the worst. That first day he came in, they said he was horrible. I was off. I wasn't there. But they tuned him down a little bit, and he's been very respectful. And I haven't had problems with him, but she has. And yeah, I'm sorry. I can't stand by when a man, a grown-ass man is doing shit like that, right? You don't do that shit. You don't do that shit to people. It don't matter what the situation was. I did say there was some groping, but there's a little bit more than that. There's a little just shit you shouldn't be doing. Shit that you'd expect the college kids to do. You know, college kids, we understand. Y'all, you know, they maybe sexting, whatever they doing, you know, whatever they do. I know what those kids do. They get up to all kinds of crazy shit. It's whatever. You're in college. Have fun. Enjoy it. But you're going to be a grown-ass man with a family, and you're going to do that. That's not cool. I know. I should be airing out my grievances here, but I'm just saying. This is what upsets me. This is why I like to have this platform, so I can kind of talk about this stuff. You know, obviously, not naming names, not saying nothing. I mean, it don't matter where this is. It don't matter where in the country it is. Point is, it don't matter where in the world it is. Point is, it shouldn't be happening. Okay? You shouldn't do that. You should not be doing that with other people. And it's really, really, really sad that you gotta, you know, you gotta do this. That you have to be that kind of person. So, yeah, I know I turned this into a bit of a rant show. But at the same time, I didn't intend on the Grimm Articles show to be just a complete article after article after article after article. And if I want to rant a little, then I can. So, let's look at this one. The first buttholes might have been for sperm instead of poop. Forget everything you knew about your butthole. Turns out, at least according to a currently unpublished and unpeer-reviewed study, so we don't have a lot of information. Anuses from which you dispel poop might have originally been used to dispel sperm. That means that our anuses may have begun their evolutionary journeys as a male sex organ. Researchers from the University of Bergen in Norway dug into the genetics of whatever morphs, those aren't xenomorphs, which are a group of tiny creatures without assholes that are distant cousins of flatworms. These critters have simplified digestive system, essentially a dead-end gut that doubles as a mouth-waist-exit hybrid. What would eventually evolve into an anus in more complex animals was originally a reproductive hole. There was no dedicated waste evacuation tube. The sperm just got a free pass through the same tube that the poop would travel through. Well, whatever the hell they are, use their mouths for everything, from eating to poop. They didn't eat poop. Well, maybe they kind of did. Males also have a separate hole for sperm, a gonadopore. That's what it is, a gonadopore, because, you know, we have the gonads. to be specific, the same genetic tools that were used to create an anus in other animals are what these little guys employ to form their gonadopores. Once a hole is there, you can use it for other things, zoologist Andres Hegnol said while speaking to New Scientist. Hell yeah, brother. A hole is a hole. If an organism has a hole, its body will use it for whatever it needs to. It's a bit like a cloaca, a multi-purpose cavity that is kind of a hole, an all-in-one tool that can do a little bit of everything. Cloacas are commonly found in a wide variety of animals, like reptiles, birds, amphibians, and even some mammals like a platypus. Cloacas are used to expel waste, but also double as a reproductive organ. The, again, unpublished and unpeer-reviewed paper suggests that the split between the digestive and reproductive systems happened much later in evolutionary history, long after our ancestors branched off from whatever the hell those were. So yeah, there's a chance that your asshole was once your sperm hole. Do with that information what you will. That doesn't... So, I know you guys want to hear about it. So yeah, I did that whole video about the trans surprise. Dude, that shit was fucking crazy. I was gonna do this with DP, so maybe I'll talk about it more with him. But, yeah, when he said, or she, whatever, it's ridiculous. I'm confused. When the person said, oh my, is like, my ass is my pussy. And I was like, what do you mean? At first I thought it literally meant, like I said in a video, I thought it was a woman that wanted to have her ass, all kinds of shit done to it, you know, like, and that sounds really, like, basically, anal sex, rimming, maybe like licked, all that kind of stuff, right? Because there's some guys that are literally into that. I was looking at an X post of a big booty woman, and a lot of guys, straight guys were like, hey, I want to lick the ass, I'd eat groceries, whatever the hell. They don't use that term anymore, but they definitely said they wanted to do that. There's a lot of guys that were saying they wanted to do that. And this was a woman, not a man. This was a biological woman. So this is something that guys are definitely doing, and there's a lot of black men that seem to do it as well. It's just what the majority of the commenters were. But the woman was black also, so maybe that might be the... I don't know if there's a difference if it's a white woman. I literally have no idea. But that's just from the information that I have. So anyway, what I'm saying is, I thought it was a woman that liked this kind of stuff, because apparently she does. Not the trans woman, but the woman I saw that the commenters were responding to. So I said, maybe what she's like that. And I said, I might be able to do this with like a dental dam or something. Because if it's a woman that enjoys that, I don't think that would be a problem often. Like, I'm not much for anal stuff. Again, I, as a former janitor, I've cleaned a lot of fucking bathrooms. The farts and poops and all that come out of there. I'm sorry, it's just not my thing, guys. So, yeah, it not really for me. And I was like, well, you know, like I said in the description, maybe on your birthday or Christmas, but yeah, other than that, no. But then I found out that there was no other hole. I was like, hold on, you've only got one hole? Okay, like, I've got one hole because I'm a man. So if you've got one hole, then that must mean that you're a man. And she's like, oh, we discussed this. I'm like, no, we didn't. So anyway, guys, I had like a shock for two fucking days. And you go into like a sort of almost depression kind of state. Because everything that you planned with this person being a woman, that goes up in fucking smoke. Because you're like, oh, I'm not going to do that no more. So, anyway, came back to work, you know, worked through it. That first day, I was just really, really bad off, just not feeling good. And then after that, I started to get a little better, and I had to talk to people about it. I had to tell other people. It's like, hey, this is what happened, it's rough. And I explained to everybody, you know, I explained it to, you know, the people I work with and everything. It's like, hey, like, this was rough. And they said to me, they said, look, all they had to do was just tell you. And this little thing beating around the bush saying, oh, but we discussed this. No, because I would have remembered that. Like I said, I could have been hit in the head with a sledgehammer and remembered that. I know I had my head hit with a brick and tried to do the Mario thing, and that didn't work. But yeah, they could have went, wham, like Shao Kahn. You know, he pulls out that big old sledgehammer. Shao Kahn could have said, rah, grim, bam. And I'd be like, ugh, I don't know what else. But I know that girl was fucking trans. And I was a man. Biological man. Like, I'm serious. That's not something I'll forget. I might forget some of the members of certain bands. And I did. I had brain fog with bands and albums and shit like that for a while. You do have brain fog a little bit, because anxiety can do that as well. Anxiety can create a lot of brain fog. But anyway, guys, it went away, and I feel a hell of a lot better now. But, yeah, it does suck, because you did want that person to be a woman, you know? And there's a lot of issues. Like, I was seeing in a server, a guy posted something. He posted this gorgeous Asian woman, right? And it's like, are you a male? He's like, yeah. It's like, what the fuck? That didn't make any lot of sense, right? And it's like, yeah, could you imagine a guy thinking he scored this hot fucking Asian babe and then finds his a dick? It's like, oh shit, what the hell? That's, yeah, it's not cool. That's really fucked up. Look. I've got a friend of mine, like a sister to me. I think I mentioned her in the video. Well, she said that she actually is dating a trans person. But she said, hey, it's actually what I wanted. And you know what she said to me? She said, the fact is, you don't want a dick. I said, exactly. That's all it is. She said, that's all it is. She just needed to come out and say. You know, she needed to tell you that, hey, I got a dick. Oh, well, I'm sorry. I'm not into dicks, right? I mean, sure, we see a lot of them in the games and stuff like that. But that doesn't mean, like, I want one in me, right? Because that's not interesting. That seems... Alright, so let me describe something to you. When I went to my urologist last time, he's retired now. He wanted to go ahead and stick that whole damn arm in there. And that was the most painful feeling I'd ever felt. And I was like, no, 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 no. Uh-uh. No, nothing goes in me. I'm sorry, that ain't gonna happen. And I ain't sucking nothing. Uh-uh. It's even been a long time since I sucked on a cough drop. I mean, I'm just being honest with you guys. That's not what I'm into. If you're into that, that's fucking cool, okay? I got nothing against gay people or lesbians or trans. I don't care what you do and who you sleep with. As long as you're adults and you're consenting, right? I don't give a fuck what you do. But me? No. No, 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 no. I'm not going to do the trans thing. I like women. I mean, is that a problem? It feels like it is. It honestly feels like it is. But at least more women are actually starting to, you know, acknowledge me and all that. Because I'm willing to come out and say shit, right? Like, I come out and say stuff, I get more sleep, and I'm not... I used to take that lion's mane shit. And lion's mane, yeah, it would give you more, like, focus. But it totally destroyed all the personality bits, right? So, I like not having to deal with that shit. Like, F Lion's Mane for now. I don't want to mess with that shit no more, right? I take the ashwagandha about 5 days a week. That's good stuff. You know, I take the vitamin D. I gotta take that, of course. You guys pretty much know what I take. I take a reflux supplement. And I started taking turmeric and cayenne, but the cayenne was real fucking strong. Cayenne had me burning in the stomach. But you know what it didn't have me doing? Heartburn. So my stomach was burning, but there wasn't no heartburn. Usually I get a little bit of heartburn. Don't feel too good. I didn't have them little pains today. I was like, oh, well, how can I do this on a lower, lighter level? Where my stomach don't feel like it's on fire. Like, to be fair, it didn't feel like it was super on fire. It was just, you know, you could feel a warmness in it. And they say that cayenne, it was cayenne and turmeric. I was mixing cayenne and turmeric. And you mix the cayenne and turmeric because the cayenne activates the turmeric. And turmeric's really, really freaking good for IBS and all that. But it can cause some problems with people that have reflux. So it's something that I'm working with, and I'm just going to have to, you know, mess around with it and see if I can get a lighter Cayenne, just a little bit lighter, and try to work my stomach up to it. Because I think it'd be really good, and it's got some real good properties, especially since it really did fix my IBS issues. Like, I went to the bathroom about 6 times yesterday at work. That's how crazy it was. Just because of storms. Every time the storms are bad, guys, I'm running to the bathroom 1,000,000 times. That's literally what happens during a bad storm. I didn't do that because I had mixed that cayenne in there with that turmeric, and it seems to have really changed my stomach a little bit. So I'd like to try that again, and obviously I don't take my supplements on the weekends or the days I'm off. I might take a little bit of D if I need it, but I don't take anything too much. I don't want to overload my liver or my kidneys. So basically, I'll just try it then, the little cayenne and turmeric, which really ain't even, and I'm not taking them in pill form, like I'm taking them in actual, like a little bit of cayenne pepper and a little bit of turmeric, you know, I got the powder, you know, so you just mix those together, try that out. But that's what I'm doing, try to kind of maybe fix the little bit of heartburn I got. It's not bad heartburn, like I used to have really awful, god, terrible heartburn. Now I don't really that bad. And one thing I absolutely cannot take is ibuprofen. Like, I realize that. Ibuprofen, that shit can cause my esophagus to literally contract. And that's not real good, because it makes it hard to swallow shit, right? Because the acid, the esophagus is trying to avoid it. It's doing some damage in the stomach. I could take Tylenols, but I really just can't take ibuprofen no more, which sucks. It's just like, I'm just not going to be able to take any more NSAID. But anyway, guys, you know, being 40, you get all this other shit that you never realized you had to deal with. Because you made some crazy choices in your diet. Or alcohol. A lot of things. But it's a sign that, hey, it's time for me to change my habits a little bit. Take more of this. I mean, I still eat some of the stuff I like. I still have a lot of junk food that I eat, you know. But I also eat a lot of, like those, some of those low-carb meals. I eat a lot of things like that. I eat the Power Bowls. They make those with the kale and all that. I eat those a lot. They're really good. They're not expensive, too. So I eat those. But, alright, guys. So, I think I'm done here. This is the Grim Lord, and we will see you guys next time on the Grim Article Show when we talk about this. Scientists identify a brain structure that filters consciousness. Yeah, that sounds pretty fascinating, doesn't it? And you know what? It sounds so fascinating, we can just go ahead and read it now. Neuroscientists have observed for the first time how structures deep in the brain are activated when the brain becomes aware of its own thoughts, known as conscious perception. The brain is constantly bombarded with sights, sounds, and other stimuli, but people are only ever aware of a sliver of the world around them. The taste of a piece of chocolate or the sound of someone's voice, for example. Researchers have long known that the outer layers of the brain, called the cerebral cortex, plays a part in this experience of being aware of specific thoughts. The involvement of deeper brain structures has been much harder to elucidate because they can be accessed only with invasive surgery. Designing experiments to test the concept in animals is also tricky. But studying these regions would allow researchers to broaden their theories of consciousness beyond the brain's outer wrapping, say researchers. The field of consciousness studies has evoked a lot of criticism and skepticism because this is a phenomenon that is so hard to study, says Liat Mudrik, a neuroscientist at Tel Aviv University in Israel. But scientists have increasingly been using systematic and rigorous methods to investigate consciousness, she says, aware or not. In a study published in Science Today, Mingxia Zhang, a neuroscientist at Beijing Normal University, focused on the thalamus. This region at the center of the brain is involved in processing sensory information and working memory, and is thought to have a role in conscious perception. Participants were already undergoing therapy for severe and persistent headaches, for which they had thin electrodes injected deep into their brains. This allowed Zhang and his colleagues to study their brain signals and measure conscious awareness. The participants were asked to move their eyes in a particular way depending on whether they noticed an icon flash onto this, on a screen in front of them. The icon was designed so that the participants would be aware of its appearance only about half the time. During the test... During the test, the researchers recorded neural activity in multiple regions of the brain, including the thalamus and cortex. This is the first time that such simultaneous recordings have been made in people doing a test that is relevant to conscious science, says Christopher White, a systems neuroscientist at the University of Sydney in Australia. This work is really pretty remarkable, he says, because it allowed the team to look at how the timing of neural activity in different regions varied. The activity in the participants' thalamus and prefrontal cortex when they were aware of the icon's appearance was markedly different from the activity when they were not. The activity when they were aware of the icon appeared earlier and was stronger in the sections of the thalamus than in sections of the cortex and seemed to be coordinated across the two areas. This suggests that the thalamus acts as a filter and controls which thoughts get to go through awareness and which don't, says Max Shine, a systems neuroscientist at the University of Sydney. Previous animal studies support these findings. In a 2020 paper, researchers used magnets to move individual mouse whiskers just enough for the mice to notice about half the time. The animals were trained to take a lick from a water spout when they did feel the movement. The researchers found that the cells in the cerebral cortex that were activated when the mice noticed the whisker flick projected down to the deeper brain regions, including the thalamus. The latest study is one of the most elaborate and extensive investigations of the role of the thalamus in consciousness, says Mudrick. But there is still a question about whether the test generally captured neural activity associated with conscious experience or just tracked attention to a stimulus that was not necessarily consciously perceived, she says. Zeng plans to conduct more experiments in people and investigate brain activity in detail in macaque monkeys. Okay, well, that's interesting. Now the monkeys are going to show us. They're going to show us what's up. DK. Donkey Kong is... No, not those monkeys. Okay, so that's all the articles we've got for right now, guys. I'll see you next time on the Grim Articles Show with many more articles and some more rants. I'm out.